200 years since they invaded Aboriginal land.
The land belongs to us. We belong to the land.
Government is trying to take away from us.
Don't call me a problem. I am not the problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it.
Let's talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist, Danny Tierce Johnson.
Yama, hello and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Danny Tees Johnson, Gomeroi journalist from Moree, New South Wales. I'd like to start the show by acknowledging country. I acknowledge the traditional owners from the lands that we broadcast from, and I extend that greeting all across this beautiful black nation of ours today to wherever you're listening, your elders past and present. Let's Talk this morning is coming from the Nissan Arena in Brizzy. We're out here for the QUT Murray Netball Carnival. 2 days of action-packed netball. Today's the kids and teenagers, and tomorrow's all the women's adults events. So we're looking forward to a couple of days out here. But to start the show, I've got a bit of a legend from QUT and Brisbane with me. And actually, the first day I started up here with AAA, I went out to the Murray School, and I work with this gentleman here. His name's Uncle Chegg. He's the elder in residence at QUT. Uncle Chegg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danny. It's about time too, Danny, that I'm winning, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I should have got you on earlier, Uncle. Hey, before we get any further, can you tell us your mob, your country, and a little bit about yourself for the mob out there that don't know you?
Okay. Thanks, Danny. So, mom, of course, my mob are Yagara, Gurunpul, and Kabi Kabi. And I've lived all my life in the best part of southeast Queensland, which is south of the river, mate. So I grew up, brother, in Anala. I spent the first 30 years of my life there. And then I went back home to Stratty for another 10 years. But now, since I've been married, I'm back over here, back on the mainland again, and yep. I live down at Logan.
No, that's unreal. What's it like living over on Stratty? I've never been to Stradbroke Island, but I've just met so many beautiful from mob, particularly through work from Stradbroke Island. But it just seems to be a little special part of the world.
Yes, I mean, growing up at Anala, ever since we were babies, we were taken back home. Every school holidays and every holidays, my mother used to take us and father used to take us back to one of my homelands. And so growing up there and being there for the holidays with my grandparents and one mile, no electricity, just the creek for water, it's the best memories of my life. Mm. And, of course, it's changed over the time, but the mob's still going, and mob's strong over there, yeah. You know, and mob's strong here within southeast Queensland as well.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about Anala. For people who aren't from Brisbane or who might not know of Anala, it was made famous to me by Mungandai Stephen Ellis a few years ago because he used to live there, and it just reminds me of one of those really staunch, strong Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities that really support each other and are really strong in what they want and what they need.
I went to primary school and high school there, Danny. And back then, because we moved there in 1964, and back then there was only like a handful to a dozen families.
That was 3 years before the 1967 referendum.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and so I was lucky enough that my mother and her sisters, they moved their families over there as well. Yeah. And so ever since the 70s and the 80s, we've always had mobs from all around, especially in the 70s and 80s. What happened, Danny, is when mobs were moving from missions and coming from out west or up in Woolbinda, they would put them in Anala or places like Anala or Wooldridge. Mm. And so, as you just said, Anala's always been a staunch place for us blackfellas.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love the Anala mob. Shout out to the 4077. What are we doing here today? QUT's, along with Deadly Choices, has put on the Murray Carnival. And at the moment, we've got the uni games on as well.
Yes, we have. Yeah, it's a busy time for us all.
Yeah.
I was just at the launch of the National Indigenous 2022 Games, and we've got 30 teams from just about nearly every university here for the games for the next 4 days. But here today we have the Junior Netball Carnival, and tomorrow we have the women's one.
Yep.
And this is our second Netball Carnival, Indigenous or Murray Carnival for the netball. We sponsor with Deadly Choices. Mm. I tell you what, Danny, I've been waiting for this for a while because we had two cancellations last year.
Yeah, right.
And so it's good, you know, because I work at the Murray School.
Yeah.
So it's good to see these young people come out and learn the skills and be involved in the community, but also be involved in netball and the activities.
Yeah, that's it's a great way to bring everyone together for health promotion. And, you know, I'm looking at the stalls here. Kindy is a deadly choice. We've got Woolworths down here with free fruit and veg. I'm going to tuck into some of that soon. But we were saying earlier, just before we got on air, that we never had these. And I'm a little bit younger than you, just not by much. But, you know, we never had these events growing up at schools. Not even, you know, in the 80s, in the 90s. I certainly never had big events like this where, you know, hey, but blackfellas would come together for play sport, but also get that second-hand information around sort of, you know, just life, good life stuff in general.
Yeah, it's great for these younger generations to understand about healthy lifestyle. Mm. That's what Deadly Choices is about. But why we're involved is to say to them, look, if you want, there's future beyond school. And me, as being an elder in residence at QUT, mm-hmm. it's a great opportunity for them. And to actually see some of our student ambassadors here as well. Ones that have gone through high school, but are now students at university.
Wow.
And it gives our children, I'm a great believer in giving our children a vision, because too many times our mob just see what's in front of them, Danny.
Yeah.
They just see their community, they just see their street. But there's a great big world out there, and this is a part of opening.
Take them outside of the bubble, eh?
Yeah.
So I was talking to Angelique the other day. She's the Pro Vice Chancellor at QUT, and she's telling me some of the work that you do as Elder in Residence is you actually take kids from the Murray School and you take them into the university to show them around. Can you tell me about that and why you do that?
Yeah, we take there's a program called Deadly Decoders, Danny, that we take them to be involved in. There's a couple of programs. But we get them in there just to take them to places like university, to let them know that they belong in places like university.
Yeah.
You know, did I ever think that I'd be in the position that I'm in 30 years or 40 years ago when I was at Lanar? I don't think so. But it's just given these fellas an opportunity to understand that they belong in places like university, you know, and they belong in a whole range of places.
Mm.
And the opportunities for these younger people, I get really excited about these next generations.
Yeah.
Because when I talk to these younger people, they're go-getters.
Yeah.
They're absolutely go-getters.
One of the things I love about you being the elder in residence at QUT is that it reminds me of an old quote from John Newfong, our first journalist, the great, he's from Stratty too, right?
He's my mob.
He's your mob. Well, this is even more fitting because his famous quote that just, you know, resonates deeply in my black heart is, the mission has come to town. Yeah. And he's talking about that when he set up when the Aboriginal Tent Embassy was set up back down in Canberra, and he was the media man for it and helping strategize. But I see that in what you're doing at QUT, because you grew up, you know, on the street in Nala in the mission. You're bringing that to QUT now, and you're sort of opening the doors for all us young mob who grew up in these, you know, pretty tough but resilient communities. And now all these people who, I guess, never had pathways to university before now have it.
Yeah, and that's exciting, you know. Yeah. And it's exciting that our Vice-Chancellor, Margaret, at QUT has understood that QUT itself sits on the lands of the Turrbal and the Yuggera people.
Mm.
And so they've completed and done all these particular strategies to make sure that when the rest of the broader QUT community understand about who these lands belong to, you know, and who these institutes, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, Danny, places not just like QUT, but those educational institutes.
Yep.
Systemic racism, still there.
Yeah.
It's still there. But it's up to fellas like me to start calling it out. And I try and do that every day, boss.
Yep.
Every day. And but here, seeing these younger kids, that's where I get excited.
Yeah. And I guess that's why you do what you do, right, for all these young ones here. Because this is where it all begins. We know that, you know. If we can get in now to these young ones who are in primary school age.
Yeah.
They're the ones that to start talking about university now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because the Murray School was involved in the first flag raising over at Government House. The very first one, which is hard to believe.
In 2022.
In 2022. And one of the young girls, she said to our principal, Tanya Sultan, she said, "Miss Tanya," she walking around the gardens of that Government House, and she's going, she says, "I think I want to be the governor because, you know, I love that house. I want a house like that." And I'm thinking, yep, that's who these fellas are.
I love it. But yeah, you must have seen so much change in the university walls since you've been there. You know, I'm thinking about going back to university next year, and I actually dropped out because I didn't feel culturally safe in university.
Yeah.
That I was in at the time. You know, just the way I was getting questioned about my work, I didn't really enjoy it, and it just became a stress for me, so I just got out of it. But it's always sort of burning. I want to go back and finish my master's and stuff like that, you know. What's the change that you've seen? We're talking about systemic racism there earlier, but and you keep calling that out, which is amazing, but are we seeing change in that?
Yeah, we're seeing change, Danny. I talk about proper change and appropriate change in all these big institutes is that it's going to be generational change. You know, in maybe two generations' time, we will see proper change. But it's starting. Because we've got the right people, especially in our university and other universities from the top that are talking about these changes and know that these things are going to change, you know. And so it's people like me and Angela and other provost chancellors from all around this country of ours that are actually tackling those changes that need to be happen, you know. But I said to our vice chancellor a couple of months ago, and I said to her, "Look," I said, "Margaret," and I was opening up something. I forget what it was, and I said, "Yeah, this is, the changes are happening, but you know, it's at a bit of a glacial pace at the moment. That's fine because I reckon the slower we go, the better we're going to get it." Because if we just go real fast, then we're going to miss the important parts
of what
it really means, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Take your time to fix it properly. Do it right.
Do it right.
Don't just rush and just Band-Aid solution over it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because, you know, Danny, I know I'm... Well, one of my pet dislikes at the moment is throughout the educational system of Australia... ACARA did the right thing about putting Indigenous perspectives into the school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they didn't do is they didn't teach the teachers how to teach that.
Yeah.
And that's creating a whole range of other issues.
Yeah, because we need black teachers.
Yeah, we need black teachers. Yeah. And we need these teachers that are teaching Indigenous perspectives to know exactly what they're teaching.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a big issue, isn't it? Because we don't have enough Indigenous teachers, so we have to train non-Indigenous teachers to teach blackfella stuff.
That's right.
You know, and like some of them are good, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
You know?
It's a lot of work. You know, Daddy, I could talk to you a long time about a whole range of things, but... It's good. It's good that, you know, that I've come along and talking to you today because these events like just not like the netball, but like the Junior Murray Carnival
yep.
that we're involved as well.
Yep.
Making sure that our children are getting their health checks to be participate, but also because got to have that yarn. I have that yarn with our seniors at the school about the importance of going to a doctor as soon as you know that you're, because let's face it, you know, some of our senior kids at our school, when they're in grade 10 or 11 and 12, it's their responsibility
yeah.
to look after their own health. And so you tell them, you know, it's no shame about going to places like doctors and medical centres, because, and let's face it, there's heaps of our medical centres around here at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, they're great, you know. I think as you get older, you certainly understand how important they are, but to get that message in the young mob, because they're pretty stubborn too, eh?
Yeah.
You know, the young ones, about going to the doctors and doing things like that. So you got to get that message into them early at events like this, eh, young?
Yeah, like this.
You know?
Yeah, like this.
How do we, I guess, you know, the work that you do, how do you get young people to understand the importance of health? You know, Deadly Choices makes it look really accessible and easy, but it's getting kids to understand and young people to understand the key messages around it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And one of the programs that we're lucky enough to do is that we have, we three times a year at the Murray School, Danny, we get at least six at a time registrars of GPs.
Yep.
They come out to the Murray School and talk to our seniors and talk to people like myself and one of the other elders, only Fran, at the Murray School. And we get there and we talk to them about what's some of the things that they will face in our community. But, you know, but it's good because getting them to understand. But I do it all the time. I even start talking to the little preppies and with the teachers. Our teachers at the Murray School, mm-hmm. of course, are always talking to our kids about their health because that's the holistic approach that we take at the Murray School.
Yeah. I actually had I was a young rapper, Tasman Keith. He actually said to me, he was up here a couple of weeks ago for Blacktivism,
yeah.
event that was on down at South Bank there. And he actually said to me, we can argue about politics all we want. We can argue about anything and racism, but it's our health that's killing us.
Yeah.
And he's only a young fella.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tazzy, you gotta start doing stuff with this, bro. You gotta start talking to the young kids about what you're saying, because he's only early 20s himself.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was pretty profound for a young person to say that.
That message is getting there, because I talk to a lot of my relations and a lot of kids that I've seen go through the Murray School, and they will talk to me about stuff like that, and they will say those types of things. They know the importance of going to medical centres.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my colleague's attention over there. Trying to get me another guest, but she's got a couple of kids herself, so she's probably getting some really good information on Kinty's The Deadly Choice, the Emily Kalu. live radio, we love it, Unc. But it's great to see the ambassadors get out here.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to catch the eye of a couple at the moment. But it's great to see the ambassadors getting out here and mixing it with the kids, because the only time I ever saw a rugby league player or a famous person was on TV. I never saw him at school or nothing like that.
No. You know? No, I mean, Willie, it's good to see Willie and Petro out here. And later we'll see Steve out here, the Pearl. So it's good to see him at these events, you
yeah.
know. Cause I was like you, Danny. The only time I see him was on TV as well.
Yeah. I saw a big famous star this morning when you walked in here, though. I come straight to you, didn't I?
is it famous or infamous, mate?
Eh? No, you famous. You're proper famous. I just want to, before I let you go and we get another ambassador on, I want to talk about Origin. Hey?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the audience a yarn?
Now, Danny, I told you though, that was a good win by the Blues last night. But you got to remember, it's a 3-game series. You got to play us up here.
Yeah,
you know.
I actually walked into work this morning at about 6:30, and our brekkie host Jarrell Yee was in full Maroons kit, and so I was very excitedly running up and down the hallways, reenacting the tries from last night, all 44 points of it. But game three, it's on for young and old up here, isn't it?
Yeah. You just can't see, but Danny's got a blue Powerade bottle on his table here.
It's the sponsors. It's the sponsor of the New South Wales Blues, isn't it? You know? So just getting their attention there with that. But we will let you get you going there soon, Unc. Let you get out and enjoy the day here. You got to go do some talking, some wheeling and dealing.
Yeah,
I've got
to go
out.
Back over to the Indigenous Games. Yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
Right. No worries. We had Angela Leach on the other day. We'll be putting her on tomorrow, actually, to talk about the Uni Games. That's here on in Brizzy at the moment, in the engine. So thanks, Uncle Chegg. You're a legend. Thanks for talking to AAA Murray Country today. And dropping some pearls of wisdom. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries. You. We're going to play a song at the moment, just while we get another ambassador. They just walked outside for an event. Looks like a little ceremony outside. So we'll just play a song at the moment, and then we will come back. Welcome back to Let's Talk on AAA Murray Country. I'm your host, Danny Thies Johnson. We're out here at the Nissan Arena for the QUT Murray Netball Carnival. I'd just like to thank Uncle Chegg there for having a yarn with us straight off the top. Deadly elder, that fella. I'm here now with, talk about deadly fellas, I'm here now with former Queensland and Parramatta great. He's actually the first Indigenous captain of Parramatta Reels. I did that research with David Middleton back in a couple of years ago. But Willie Tonga, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, brother.
First of all, your mob and your country.
Yeah, my mob, Wiradjuri, from a little country town called Peak Hill, down in New South Wales, outside of Dubbo.
Yep. Shout out to all the Peak Hill mob.
Yes.
Brother, what are you doing here today? Obviously, we're out here for the netball carnival and obviously, sending some positive messages around daily choices. What's your role out here today, bro?
Yeah, just floating around, just like you said, encouraging our people to make those deadly choices. As you can see, we've got stalls set up, we've got the deadly kindies here, and then we've got the young fellas just got different events. So over there they'll making planes and making paper planes,
on a few that I think
mine was the best. and then they're paper planes over there, and then one of those games, guess who? You know how you've got to pick out the person.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, brother, tell me about health and fitness, because you look just as fit and healthy as you did when you're in your prime playing. How important is health and fitness sort of to maintain it for you post-football?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's coming straight out of high school, straight into the NRL. It was something that we did every single day. And so when I retired, I kind of went away from it for a little bit, and then I didn't understand why I wasn't feeling so great.
Yeah.
And then it took me just one session after a couple of months of not training. One session, back in the gym, and yeah. then I realized, you know, it's not only good for me physically, but mentally as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. I've had lots of conversations with former Origin great Tamana Tahu,
yes.
dual international, yeah. and he actually went vegan a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. he said it's the fittest and healthiest he's ever been. And it sort of, I guess, it breaks down the stereotypes of what is a vegan, and you know what it does for the human body, because a lot of, you know, sort of negativity out there around veganism, but it's a really healthy choice.
Yeah, I guess what works for you.
Yeah.
It's I've tried it, and I've seen the benefits of it as well. But I have to say I enjoy my steaks and my meat too much to give it up.
I love my barbecue chicken, Tamana.
Yes.
Sorry, Cass. Hey, while I've got you, I've got to talk about Origin last night.
Mm-hmm.
From a former player and, you know, someone who's crossed the white line there, mate, what's your take on it there last night?
Oh, just too good. Mm. Just too good.
You were saying earlier you didn't expect that.
No, not at all. I going off game one, the way Queensland played, I thought that they were going to sort of go into game two. I knew it was going to be a tough game, but I thought that I was pretty confident that we'd get up. But, like I said, New South Wales is too good. The combinations, you know, Cleary, Luai, just everybody across the park,
the
just done their role.
Eh?
Yeah, they, I don't know, they're just having that sort of that strong core, and bringing Coruscant into the team as well. Like, I think he was a massive addition to New South Wales.
When you get that many points put on you in Origin, how do you come back from that? Because it's pretty deflating for Queensland, given, you know, they were probably coming into the second game as favourites from my end,
mm-hmm.
Probably not with the bookies, but to get such a scoreline put on them, and it happened last year as well.
Yeah, I think it's just going back to the drawing board. I don't think that they'll dwell on that too much when they come into camp. I think Bill and the coaching staff, you know, Cam Smith and JT, they'll sort of speak on what they did wrong, what they need to improve on, and then straight away get back into, getting back down to the simple things, and which they done well in game one.
Yeah, because game three is back up here at Suncorp.
Yes.
We're already buzzing, bro, but it's going to be a big, massive game, that one, and do you expect Queensland to bounce back?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's it's a different arena when you're playing at Suncorp, especially being game three.
60,000 screaming Queenslanders.
Yes, it's like I've never experienced anything like it. I played at different stadiums in Australia and overseas as well, but Suncorp, that's just so special, and to be playing there in an Origin arena, the boys will be buzzing.
Is Origin the most sort of the biggest arena you've played in, Origin?
Yeah, for sure. I've played in big test matches, but it doesn't even come close to Origin.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, if you look at the international, you know, Australia versus New Zealand, and you go New South Wales versus Queensland, essentially mm-hmm. that's the epic, you know, the top of the game is Origin.
Yeah, they talk about it. It really is the pinnacle. And you've got the best of the best playing against each other, and the hatred's real. You could see how passionate Queensland are, and, you know, when we cross that border, New South Wales hates us as much as we hate them. It's a fierce rivalry, but I think we'll bounce back.
And just finally, Willie, before I let you go, what does it mean yeah, black fella from Peak Hill playing Origin, given how much, you know, our mob love footy, when you first ran out, like, how did it feel for you as a, you know, as a young Murray fella running out in the Queensland journey?
Curry, bro.
Playing for Queensland.
I know. I copped it a lot, you know, especially from mob down in New South Wales. But, yeah, insane. They were very proud that I was representing, you know, my mob and my country at, in that arena. But, yeah, it was surreal. It's, you know, those things that you dream of. Yeah. And
so I love talking to Jarrell around his footy career too in the Origin games and what he says. And it just, you see how it just comes to life. And, you know, it's so different for all you mob that have played in it, bro. You know,
it's just, yeah, and it's, I don't know, just seeing the young fellas coming through now as well. You know, you got young Selwyn, you know, he's making a name for himself. He's only his second season in the NRL, but the way he's come out and just sort of let the whole game on fire is it's great to see.
And he's inspired all of Sherbo. Willie, thanks for your time, brother. Have a great day out here.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for doing all what you've done, and thanks for your career, particularly with Parramatta. I love it, bro.
Thanks, brother.
Brother, bro. Okie dokie, up. We've got young lady from the Sapphires, Queensland Sapphires. Come and jump in, sis, over here, live radio. Just going to jump straight in. Thanks for joining us today. Get your headphones for you. Can you first off just introduce yourself to our audience, please?
My name's Chloe Litherland, and I play for the QT Sapphire team in the Heart Sapphire series.
And your mob and your country, sis?
So I'm not Indigenous, but I do have a Papua New Guinean background.
You look like a black fella, what?
Yeah, I know. But yeah, my family is from Papua New Guinea,
oh,
so
really?
They hail from up there, yeah.
Oh, congratulations. The PNG football team won the other night.
Yeah, the Cumbles, yeah.
Hey, sis, tell us about netball. I actually played mixed netball, so I've got a bit of an insight. Busted my knees and ankles, though. But netball is such a huge game for our women in particular. They love netball. Tell us the story of netball.
I don't know. I guess netball is such an inclusive sport. And like you said, we've got such like high participation rates because anyone can do it. You can grab a ball, go down to a court, whether it's like grass or bitumen or anything like that, and throw it around and have a go. And I think that's what makes it such a great sport. And I think it's pretty great at the moment, too, that there's so many pathways for, you know, for non-Indigenous, but like thankfully Indigenous people as well.
Yep.
Now we've got a lot more, or hopefully a lot more representation coming along. And it's starting to really show that it's like a game for, you know, everyone in our nation, not just specific people in our nation.
Yeah, well said, sis. Being out here today must be exciting for you to be able to, I guess, mix it with the young kids.
Yeah.
But also pass on some tips, not only about netball, but deadly choices and healthy messages,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always good to get out at, like, deadly choices events, and particularly just to some of these kids, even just talking to them about, you know, what they're doing and what their aspirations are, and, you know, making sure that they know that anything is really possible for them, and being able to spread some messages about just good health and well-being in general away from, like, netball as well.
Yeah, because we have had some great players over the times. I think Marcia Ella Duncan was the first Indigenous netballer.
Mm-hmm.
And up until today, we've got young Gemma Mai Mai.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's your favourite players? Do you have any favourites in Indigenous ones? Or who should we look out for?
Well, I played with Gemma, like, growing up, like, through state sisters.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm Gemma's age. And she's always been, like, fantastic. She was amazing at touch football too.
Yeah, right.
But obviously, like, she's an absolute weapon on the court as well. So she's a great role model, and also, Danelle Wallum. So she's like a girl who's just come over from WA, and she's an Indigenous player as well, and she's just made the like Comm Games Australian Diamond squad for the first time.
Wow.
I think that's pretty awesome representation, you know, for Indigenous stars, and she's really proud of her heritage as well, so a really just a great message and role model.
Yeah, no, well said, thanks for that, sis. Tell us about, so netball, right, it's pretty steppy, you can only take one step, right? How do you protect yourself from injuries, your knees and your ankles and all that? Because, like, it is a very physical sport, isn't it? Like, you girls don't muck around. There's little stay elbows here and little knees there. How do you prepare yourself and prevent injuries in such a high intensity sport.
A big part for us is a lot of like gym work. So off the court, we do a lot of stuff to strengthen our muscles and make sure that we're doing all the right like prehab exercises to protect our joints, because knees in particular are such a big thing to go. But it's also about what we eat as well off the court. So trying to make sure that we eat healthy and fuel our bodies all the time and make sure we have enough of the good stuff to make sure that, you know, everything is just working as best as it can.
Yeah, it's good for the young sisters out there to hear that. It's not just running up and down the court and being good at shooting and whatnot. There's a whole lot of background training that goes on in the gym and nutrition, everything, right?
Yeah.
Sis, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the carnival, the kids today and the adults tomorrow. So, yeah, get out there and run them up.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Okie dokie. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk from the Nissan Arena out here in the beautiful outer suburbs of Meanjin. You can get online and chat to the netball mob and bring the kids out. You've been listening to AAA Murray Country.